You got the power to let power go.
Welcome to the Rank and Overreact podcast. I'm Zach Harper. That's Wozni Lambre, our cultural
anthropologist.
I almost said agriculturalist, but I knew that wasn't right. Yeah,
get it right.
Our cultural anthropologist at The Athletic, nice. Checking on the styles and the drip and drown and all that good stuff, which you can check out today. If you're listening to The Athletic, if you're reading The Athletic, it got it up there. And we also have my power rankings from every single week. And that's what we do here. Is I work so hard, Waz. I go through. It's my entire weekend. Like, you know, I'm not going out and hanging out with people. No, I'm locked in a room, you know, making sure I got every ranking, every stat correct, all this stuff. And then Monday morning comes and we post them at 9 a.m. Pacific time, and then they just get torn to shreds by our lovely readers and listeners.
I've seen it with my own two eyes on your Instagram. I've seen you.
Mm-hmm.
Working, playing with your dog,
yeah,
getting facials.
Oh,
I've
man.
Seen it.
Waz, I'm this all is, about that facial life now.
Yeah, I can see that. I can
Dude,
see that.
No, my skin's never been nicer.
Like, it's I'm glowing. Like, yeah, you look glowing. Amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I
will tell you,
I can write
you,
them off now too because we got the camera. We got doing this on video.
Oh, there yeah. you go. Tax man, April 15th, y'all. Don't forget. You know, but I do want to say I got my doctorate from the streets, Zach. So. Please put some respect on the cultural anthropologist.
I don't know what that Thank means. What do you mean you got your doctorate from the streets?
I got my doctorate from the streets, okay?
I don't think that's legal tender. I don't think that's. I don't know if that's how that works.
Here, so now I want to add this element to it. That's good. That's a great intro. Waz, when yes. you look to your right, you're looking at Zach.
Okay.
Look to your right. Yeah. Zach, if you look to your left.
To my left?
I just want you to occasionally look at that screen for me.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
When Waz is talking, I'll do that.
Yeah, just imagine whatever thing is over there is Waz, and then Waz, okay. when you look right.
Wait, when Zach is talking, I should be like this?
I want you occasionally, because in the frame, he's going to be to your left.
Okay.
So
I'm sorry, to your right.
So I just got to pretend that Waz is this weak-ass Mountain Dew Zion Williamson thing that they gave me that I'll send you a picture of at some point.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it'll be funny, okay. like as a bit.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead. All right. Pick up Zach.
So what we're gonna do here at The Athletic with the Rank and Overreact podcast, as we always do each week, is Waz is gonna read your incredible comments that are just eviscerating my stuff, and we're gonna have some fun with it. So Waz, what is the what's the first one?
Before we get into things, you'll be shocked, Zach. Shocked. I'm telling you, you won't believe this. But Rockets commentariat is doing a bit of crowing.
Crowing?
They've already declared victory. Everybody panned the move. They've declared that they are now the front runners in the West. No, not really, but you know how this goes, Zach.
Yes,
they're doing better than people thought they would be, so the fans are going crazy.
Well, it's the victory lap in February, March, right? Like, people don't seem to realize that's not the time you do a victory lap because that's not when the victories happen.
Right. So moving on, first comment comes from Robert A., who says, the whole quote-unquote Wizards can't play defense talking point should be dead by now. They've got the NBA's seventh best defensive rating since IT was shipped out of town. They're 5-5 in that time period. I suspect they won't end up anywhere close to 30th by season's end. Please stop using this trope. It's old. You're a professional with internet access. Do better. The Wizards are.
Okay. They have the second worst defensive rating in NBA history for this season. History! Second worst! Talking about 10-game sample size. What about the 70-game sample size? What are the second worst in history?
I just love the idea. I love the idea that them not finishing 30th in the league is proof that Wizards can't play defense is a point that should be dead now. Like, Bro, what are you talking about?
Waz, I don't know what we do with it. We cherry pick these little small samples, right? And whenever I do that, I'm saying, hey, small sample size. Let's not read too much into this. But this is the case. Except here, I'm supposed to believe 10 games without Isaiah Thomas, that all of a sudden they went from being the second worst in NBA history to now they're good now? No, it's random.
Hey, man, 10 games is about like a three-week period. A lot could happen in 3 weeks. Sure. That's all I'm saying. Moving on, and I know you're going to love this. Stephen B. says, I saw a stat that Robert Covington has 4 blocks in 4 straight games or something, and Clint Capela never did that. What a move by Daryl Morey.
Yep.
Next, hold on, because these all have to come.
Okay.
These all have to come in concert with one another.
Wait, just do it the looks occasionally. Very occasionally.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Okay, not always, occasionally. Like when, okay. Yeah, for emphasis or whatever, we can do it. Okay. Okay, so I read the Robert Covington. Okay, Brian W. says Brad Stevens, Quinn Snyder, and Vogel all had multiple days off to game plan against Houston. The result has been the Rockets generating even more open attempts. They have the number 2 offense and a top 10 defense since becoming the Pocket Rockets. Russell Westbrook O'Neal looking scary with snipers around him. Zach?
You think Brad Stevens, Quinn Snyder, who was the other person, Frank Vogel, you think they're giving away potential playoff strategies to knock off the Rockets on a random night in February? No, that's not how any of those coaches work. Like Nick Nurse will throw stuff out game to game. Like, he's pretty incredible with that. No other coach does that. Eric Spoelstra, Doc Rivers, they all keep stuff in the pocket. So you can get off to the Pocket Rockets all you want. I don't care about that. Be happy. But they also just gave up plus 31 rebounds to the Knicks. Plus 31. This is the issue. It's not that they can score. We knew they could score. They could score before it. They could score after it. The issue is, can they do this defensively and from a rebounding standpoint in every single playoff game? Because that's what it's going to take. Maybe they can. Most people think they can't. Rockets fans, I'm sure if they don't, then a year from now, we'll find out that it was all cheating by the refs or something.
And before we move on to this next Rockets comment, I do want to say, like, it's two things. It's like, one, they have been playing their asses off.
Yeah, they're
playing
they're good.
Much harder.
Yeah, they're good.
And not, I'm talking about for an effort standpoint. They're playing much harder because they understand that for them to compete, they are digging on guys hard. Closing out hard. They are putting hands and paws on people. Like, they are the league's most physical defense right now. But they have to do that on a night-to-night basis in order to make this work. That's a veteran-laden squad. Not to say that veterans don't like to play hard, but veterans don't like to play hard every freaking night.
Like, manage the season a little bit.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when you go out and play one of the worst teams in the league, like the Knicks, your tendency is to be like, look, man, I'm not going to go out and kill myself like I did against the Lakers the very next game after we started this experiment where everybody counted us out and said we look desperate for doing it. These are human beings. They're managing stuff, right? Like, I don't think it's time to do the victory lap yet. Although, if you are a fan, I can understand why you would be encouraged by the results so far.
Well, yeah, and you can do a victory lap now because that's not going to happen in the playoffs, right? So you got to do it now. But also, Waz, to that point, like, I don't think anyone doubted this as a regular season strategy. It's always been a wait and see approach. So the whole, like, oh, look at us now, is like, yeah, you were a good regular season team before this. Like,
no, I'm not going to lie. I doubted it as a regular season strategy because I thought more of this getting out rebound and pounded on the glass, I thought that would be more prevalent. And I guess I just didn't see them putting in this type of commitment on defense.
Which it also might, because small sample.
Right. And, you know, to round out this Rockets thing, I just wanted to read this comment for you. Pretty confident Quinn Snyder was doing everything he could to win that latest game against the Rockets. And Brad Stevens certainly appeared to be trying anything to win Saturday night. It's more than a fair take to wait and see attitude to Houston's strategy until the playoffs. But just once, I'd love to read someone discuss what these hypothetical adjustments would actually be. Without any specifics, it's starting to come off as wishful thinking, Zachary.
This is the other issue. I don't care if the Rockets win or lose. This idea, this is the problem that I have with all this stuff, right? It's like, oh, you're against the Rockets. I don't give a shit if they win or not. Then it doesn't affect my paycheck in any way. It doesn't matter. Me saying, I don't know if this works, isn't me saying it's not going to work. It's me saying, I don't know. And so I don't think it's going to work in the playoffs, but if it does, all right, cool. I don't care. Like, I'm not against – I hate one team in pro sports, Waz. One, it's the Oakland Raiders. They don't play in the NBA. I don't care.
Sure. And, you know, to offer some – because the guy asked for specifics. I would say to offer some specifics, I think the rusting specifically in the postseason – I can see teams just sitting on that jump shot and staying home, making themselves big when he gets down low. Harden, again, this is not somebody who's been lights out in his postseason career. I could see teams just being like, go ahead, make your step backs. Go foul hunting like he did the first like 3 or 4 games against Golden State last year, where he was sacrificing just doing his normal form to foul hunt on those step backs on those threes. Again, staying home on Russ, I think being more choosy about who you close out hard on, like, you know, the idea that Daniel House is just going to nail big shots and big moments. Well, like, it's one thing in the regular season when people are doubting you and it's kind of like, oh, if we do good, it's kind of like we're surprising people and all of that. It's another thing for Daniel House to brick 3 threes in a row and then be expected to take that 4th one again.
Right.
When the entire stadium is like, brother, you better make this.
And I don't even think it's the offensive end of the floor. It's the defensive end that I have questions about. Yeah. I know they're going to score. And so, with the way they play, there's high variance in those 3-point shots, right? Some nights they're going to hit 40%. Some nights they're going to hit 25%. And so, I'm not worried about that. I always know the barrage of 3-pointers is coming with them. And so at some point, you're going to make those, unless it's game 7, they miss 27 straight. The issue is defensively. How do you do that? I think you can stretch the floor vertically so easy against them. I think teams have been hesitant to throw those passes inside. But once that happens, you're put at a disadvantage and you have to collapse and then you have to leave perimeter players open. And then that's a lot of open shots. I just think there's easy ways to do that. Plus, if you're getting your ass kicked on the boards every night, they give up 20 rebounds to the Knicks. That's going to be something that can happen against Jokic, happen against Gobert, right? Happen against the Lakers, happen against the Clippers. Like, all that stuff can happen. And if that happens, now you're at a disadvantage physically. You have to foul to stop buckets or you just give up easy buckets. And that team's not deep in any way. So if they get into foul trouble, they're screwed.
And I think with the Lakers, honestly, I know LeBron has upped his offensive output. I don't think we're going to see 2017, 2016 the scoring threat that LeBron was in those postseasons. I don't think he's going to be quite that. Right. But I don't think Houston has a guy who they could reliably say, I'm putting one on LeBron. I don't think so. I do not think so. And even in that Lakers matchup, it was a lot of the trying to get AD going, trying to do this. No LeBron in the post.
Right.
And I think that's, you know, that's something you mentioned, Vogel and them not showing stuff. They haven't really shown that a lot this season. The last few weeks we've been seeing it when like Josh Hart and Drew Holiday's
right,
like,
exactly.
All right, I'm just going to go to the post and just destroy these right. kids. I think you will see that. I don't think PJ Tucker can guard LeBron 1-on-1.
Or if he does, who's guarding AD?
Who's guarding AD? And
Covington's good, but like that's a lot.
I think he's too light in the shorts, light in the pants to guard LeBron. And I think another thing you got to worry about when you're Houston, foul trouble for either Covington or PJ Tucker, your defensive strategy goes completely out it's over.
Right.
Defensively with foul trouble with those guys. So these are things to watch. You know, Andrew, as you asked for specifics, we just gave you a couple.
There you go.
You're welcome. Michael H. says, I'm a Kings fan, and 16th is generous until the team plays well in all 4 quarters and beats a couple of teams with above 500 records.
Hey, man, they're competing with teams against, you know, that have below 500.
I mean, look, I'm a bit of a Kings enthusiast. I just mentioned this we just did the Buds, and I just mentioned this. I love their young guys.
Yeah.
I like that they move some pieces around during the deadline to make sure that they can lock up Bogey over the summer. I don't know how this Buddy Hield thing works long term. I think they should probably try to get something for him because people are always looking for shooters and wing depth. I don't know if the whole I'm a Lou Williams type thing is right. how he envisions himself. So I don't know how that works long term. I love Giles. I know not everybody's as hiring him as I am. I think his skill set, right? Like, he's super athletic, has some ball skills, can right. pass a little bit. You know, he's not exactly Bill Russell on defense yet, but I think there's potential there. I like what they have, man. And of course, Marvin Bagley is, you know, he's a nice enough player. I'm not sold on him yet, but I love Fox. I love Bogey. I love Giles.
Yeah.
I like what they have.
Well, you know, what's the interesting thing about the whole Bagley situation is just because they took him above Luka, right?
Yeah.
If Luka gets taken, if he was a
number 9
him,
pick, people would be talking about him.
All
like,
about him. Absolutely. Yeah, it's just the fact that he got picked in front of Luka, in front of Trey. And that's why. But yeah, like, Kings, here's the thing. Like, all right, they're competing against the Spurs. I think they're better than the Spurs right now. Competing against the Blazers without Dame, I think they're better than the Blazers.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, we talk about the Suns are better than the Suns. They're better than the Wolves. Like, so they moved up because they've won, like, 9 of their last 13 games. You know, they get rewarded for that. I don't know that I truly believe they're the 16th best team in the league, but compared to where everyone else is right now, yeah, like, they're better than all those Eastern Conference bums who are trying to make the playoffs. Like, yeah, they're good.
Look, you know, one game sample bias. It's not so much that they won the game against the Clippers that I was at. It was the level of fight that they showed. Like, the Clippers were like, and we've seen this a lot of times with the Clippers where they just decide, like, all right, man, we're done playing around with these kids, and just straight up put the screws to guys. And they went into that mode. And Sacramento, their guys found a way to withstand.
Fox was not scared. You know, Bogdanovich was not scared. Yeah,
and it culminated in that amazing lob to Giles at the end. And I just think it's not so much that they won the game. It's that they withstood that level of you know, just want to from the Clippers. And I was like, man, this is pretty impressive for a young group. And I, you know, I know they've disappointed this year and because they overachieved last year and it hasn't been that this year and Fox was hurt, but I'm still really bullish on that group.
Yeah, I think they should be good next year.
Next comment comes from Keith F. Once again, disrespected. Keep it up. Ooh. It's a motivator. Ooh. Raptors dropped 3 in a row and are missing 2 bigs and a spark plug. Clutch offense and very good D. Built for the playoffs. Paragraph was a little bit incoherent, but you get the point, Zach.
Okay.
You're disrespecting our neighbors to the north.
Okay. Let me see what they did last week was. And they're missing people. If you miss people, you drop down because you're not as good. So here's what they did last week. They lost to Milwaukee. Which is understandable. They lost to Charlotte, not understandable, and they lost to Denver. So you're not going to be above those teams you were above before. Like, that's a bad week. You're going to get hit. Just like when they had good weeks, weeks and weeks and weeks, I had them up to 3rd in the power rankings. Was that disrespectful? Was it disrespectful when we the North, which is not even the most northern city in the NBA, when they were put up there into the 3rd spot? I don't remember a disrespectful comment from you that time. Was it Keith? Keith F, you let me know. You let me know. Is it only disrespectful when it doesn't coincide with the jersey you bought? You let me know.
Them not being the northernmost NBA city.
Not even good geography. You're the second north.
Okay.
Longitude and latitude, man. Like, you gotta learn it.
Yeah, you gotta learn the geographical coordinates of your city before you pick a moniker. Exactly. Max B, shouts to Big Avell, Free Max B, says, the Blazers definitely expected more out of Simons. Are you fucking kidding me? He has not emerged. He has been horrid. Are you even watching the games? He was supposed to come in and lead the second unit, and he's averaged less than 2 assists a game, Zach Harper.
One, they don't use him as a point guard. So, yes, I watched games. 2, he's 20. If you expect – this is the issue I have when people like a rookie or like a second-year guy and they go, oh, well, he's going to come in and do this. No. That's unreasonable. It's unreasonable to put him in the role for what he is capable of doing and his age and his experience. He has actually exceeded expectations. There was no reason to think he could lead a unit. He's been a valuable role player. Yeah, he's had some ups and downs because, by the way, he's 20. But this guy has actually exceeded what expectations should have been for him. So get out of here with
Full disclosure, Simons is one of my favorite young guys in the league. Yeah, some of it is just the bias that he came into LA and had a really good game against the
Clippers. Who was ducking him? Who was ducking
Kawhi
him?
Kawhi was ducking him. Kawhi. He was ducking him. The guy had like 15 points in a quarter, and Kawhi went and hit on Dame Lillard. What do you want me to, what do you want me to tell you? What do you want me to say? No, but seriously, I like Simon's game. One, I think he's just a knockdown. Like, his stroke is so beautiful. He is a knockdown shooter. I know the percentages probably don't reflect that right now because of the sort of quality of shot that he's taking this season. Sure. But I think, far as spot-up shooting, he's an incredible shooter. And I think he does stuff with the ball in his hands. Yeah. He's one of those guys that can beat – he can eventually develop into somebody who consistently beats his guy off the dribble, gets to his spots, creates space, and, you know, knocks stuff down. I'm super high on Simon.
Absolutely. And he's had a good year.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's tough. These are the tough things when it comes to roster building and team building, Zach, where it's like, do I try to get something for CJ, thrust this guy into the position, you know, maybe when he's not ready for it, or do I wait around? Like, these are the tough decisions that sort of make or break GMs, right? Make or break franchises. And like, this could be the difference of, does Portland ultimately turn into a championship real type of contender or not? Like, these are the decisions you got to make on the fringes. Like, do we bring in stuff to come in Dame, slot this guy in, or like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think the problem with that is not knowing what you get for CJ, right? And then even still, all right, so now next year you're trusting a 21-year-old dude to be a contributor for a playoff team. Like, that's just not realistic. None of that's realistic. It may happen occasionally. Yes, Kawhi came in and helped the Spurs be really good. Okay, that's Kawhi. Anthony Simons is not Kawhi. No one's expecting him to be Kawhi. Like, even Dame, when Dame came into the league, right, he was the rookie of the year. He was incredible. He beat out Anthony Davis, rookie of the year. That team sucked. As good as Dame was, that team sucked. Like, most of these rookies and most of these second-year guys don't help teams win games. And that's what I judge 20-year-olds on.
Yeah, here's the thing, guys. And we can move on after this. But, like, the NBA's hard. like even a guy who flashes a ton of talent, which I think Simons does. He has a ton of talent, a ton of gifts. He's not just going to – like, everybody can't be Zion and Luka.
Exactly.
It don't work like that. Yeah. It just
even
doesn't
last
work
year, Luka, how many games did they win? Right?
Right.
I'm not saying Simons isn't a rookie, but he's basically a rookie because he barely played last year.
Yeah. All right. So Sam M says, I certainly do not share your questions about what Zach LaVine can bring to the team. Pure scorer, capable playmaker, improving defender. Strongly disagree with that take. And his rivalry with Boylan is so overplayed. He isn't chirping at Boylan in that clip. Kobe, LaVine, Wendell, Gafford, Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn is Marcus Smart. Lowry, I'm iffy on. Hutchinson still has potential. Need to get this core in the right hands, or at least out of guard packs and Boylan's.
Who is that?
Sam M.
Sam M.
Thanks for the comment.
Thank you, Sam M. I'm glad we found Michael Reinsdorf's burner account. And thank you for subscribing to Athletic, Michael Reinsdorf. Like, get out of here. What are you talking about?
First of all, you're a fan. You get to be optimistic about your young core.
Sure. But, Waz, this isn't my question about Zach LaVine. It's everyone around the league is asking, is saying, is he just a great pickup player? Like, that's what it is. Like, I'm a Zach LaVine fan, but if he's going to be your number one or number two, yo, I don't know about that.
Dicey. The idea that him and Jim Boylan are best friends is
Zach LaVine cannot stand Jim.
It's just well documented. Yes. The reports have been out there. You can see, like, his comments after the games. Like, this isn't some media concoction. No, like, this is real life.
You're right. He hates, like, the players do not like playing for him.
All right, moving on to one of our regulars, man, big friend of the show, John B.
Okay,
says, my Pistons finally got the spot that they deserve.
Clap it up. Did it. Yes.
Clap it up for the Detroit Pistons, worst team in the NBA. Of course, it took a lot of hard work along the way. This wasn't just given to us. We had to field the finest G League team the NBA has to offer in order to accomplish this grand achievement. I would like to personally thank Zach Harper for finally recognizing the true potential that diehard fans knew was always there for the team.
Now,
once again, Detroit.
Now we've been talking.
You guys stink. Oh my goodness.
Because even then, when I said positive takeaway, I had to do the shrug emoji because you didn't know
what the positive is. Who's the young guy on the team that they've drafted that you can be sort of optimistic about? I like Kennard.
He's good, but he's a fourth or fifth guy.
He's a role guy.
Maybe Sekou Doumbouya, but he's been terrible as of late. But here's the thing, Waz. Now, we talked about Rockets fans taking victory laps, right? Sure. Don't take a defeat lap. Early in the season, there's still a lot of games left. The Warriors could drop down. The Cavs could drop down. You know, the Hawks
could get
a Hornets, the Knicks,
and not come back.
And so with
Draymond all of
back,
a sudden his thigh or something is.
Yeah. You know. Andrew Wiggins might go back to mid-range exclusively. Like, you don't know. So, yes, the Pistons made it to 30th, but it could always rise back up. So let's not take the defeat lap just yet.
Zach F., standing in for the Zachs, says... stands on soapbox. Video embeds aren't GIFs.
Look, Zach F., I hear you. I'm just doing what I was told to do. Whatever you want to call it, I'm doing the way I was told to do it, okay?
I get orders, I follow them.
You notice it used to be 30 to 1? I was told do 1 to 30. I just do what I'm told.
That's it. This comment is near and dear to my heart because the hate.
Okay.
The hate, Zach. You're gonna even be like, wow, this is pretty impressive hate. Jonah T says, and just a heads up, it's Tatum related. I don't understand the Jason Tatum hype this year, or really at all. I've been watching quite a bit of Celtics, and all I see is Andrew Wiggins with a defensive game.
Wow.
Sometimes he hits tough, read bad shots. Sometimes he doesn't. He's averaging 23 points a game on 19 shots and shooting 48% on twos. The rave defensive game is definitely partially there, but he seems to lack awareness off the ball. I certainly think he has potential, but I just see him as another Wiggins, Gay, Anthony, inefficient volume scorer at the time being. I'm not trying to slew him. He's definitely
a very good...
He's definitely a very good NBA player. I just didn't think he should have been on All-Star. And I don't see the quote-unquote jump that Zach and others have raved about. Would love any opinions on this. But please use well-thought-out opinions and statements, Zach. I know my opinion on him and every player is flawed. I have biases and haven't watched every game or looked at every stat. If you think differently from me. I'd love it if you took the time to explain why you think he is better than I do and what do you have to back it up. Again, would love any opinions to the contrary. Thanks.
So the issue here is that you're going off the full season numbers, which are fine. Like, we're talking about sample size,
full
right?
Full season numbers, and I saw something – sorry to cut you off, there Zach. You I saw something on Twitter where somebody was like, Middleton is having the season that you guys think Tatum is having.
Middleton plays next to Giannis.
Yeah. So. But Middleton is having an exemplary season overall, and he's been doing it basically from wire to wire.
Right.
And Tatum's thing, yes, it's a three-week thing, and I think it's because so many people, this is the guy that they envisioned him becoming. So he's finally showing flashes of it, so people have been excited. And I think a lot of it has to do with national TV games, right? Like high-profile games against Kawhi and LeBron, and he had amazing games.
Right. I mean, part of the problem is, for me, is like, all right, this dude's basically got like a 30% usage, right? And he doesn't turn the ball over. So that gives you a high – like, that's a big deal. When you don't turn the ball over – and you're getting up shots, and you're making those shots. He's got like a 57% true shooting for the entire season, but it's really like the last month to 2 months. You've seen him raise his game. You've seen him become a go-to guy. Now, we could end up seeing this dissipate in the next month or so, right? Like, I'm not doubting that that's possible. I don't think it's going to happen because He's getting to whatever spots he wants to on the floor. And to me, that's where before he was just taking shots. Oh, I've practiced this step back before. I'm going to take this step back instead of knowing where to attack. And so I believe that I'm seeing his understanding of the game and where he needs to be. And yeah, he still falls asleep on defense. Lots of people still fall asleep on defense. Like that off ball defense is the hardest defense to play in the NBA. But with him, I'm seeing an IQ that seems to be understanding more and more and more every single time out. I think his shots are smarter. I think his shot profile is smarter. He's a better shooter. He has raised his three-point volume so much and raised his accuracy in the process. Like, I just think that this guy is doing stuff that we need to take notice of. And now, again, maybe it goes away. I personally would have gone with Jaylen Brown over Tatum as the
other. I think
as the
to other, that point, he was the better player.
Yeah, I think Jaylen Brown has been the better player up until that point. Since then, since a little bit before then, Jason Tatum's been the best player on the Celtics.
And there's a theory to the idea that, and you know, you heard it out there, that he was worried about All-Star, and once he made it, he felt a sense of weight off of himself and just started playing. I think for me, Zach, because again, I've been one of the loudest Tatum skeptics in the media from basically from the beginning. I think for me, what he's showing me is him getting to the rack.
Yeah.
Like he's attacking the basket. He's attacking the paint. He's forcing people to defend him and have to foul him at the rim.
Yep.
And to me, that's the biggest difference in his game. When I'm watching him use, because he's got a pretty polished Titan handle. I'm watching him leverage his jump shooting ability and his handle to get people back, get to the rack. And he's doing it against guys like Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James. Even though we laughed at his defense for 5 years, he showed a renewed effort level. It's getting to the basket is what's changed it for me. If you're going to tell me I can put Paul George in front of this guy and he's still going to get to the paint and finish over him, I mean, we're talking about an MVP candidate.
Yeah, and there's still a lot of room to go. Still a lot of room to go, but man, he's taking strides right now, and I believe in those strides.
All right, now we've come to the portion, the segment of the show where we just let people take shots at Zach.
Okay. That hasn't been happening before?
No. This is dedicated hate. This isn't just, oh, you were wrong on my team. This is just dedicated, just hate. Juan M. says, Harper, I already knew you don't watch the games. Dallas above Toronto and Miami just killed them is insane. Back to class, Padawan.
You nerd. Oh my God, you Star Wars nerd. Get out of here, man. Pick up a basketball. Come see me on the court, you nerd. Light your ass up like it's Christmas. Get out of here, Padawan. Put your lightsaber back in your pants. Get out of here.
Okay, Hank H. says, this isn't Zach hate. This is just great hate in general. Hank H. says, if the Bucks win it all, Harden finally gets a ring.
I love that. Yeah. They should offer him a ring.
All right. Shane M. says, this is a list.
Yeah.
That's the comment.
That's what rankings are.
And finally, last but not least, Daniel M. says, quote, Zach, I usually love reading some insight in these rankings, but to be honest, they felt a little phoned in this week.
Wow. That's our show. Wow. Worked my ass off on those rankings this week. I'm gonna see phoned in. Check out next week. I got a theme and everything. That's gonna do it. Thanks for subscribing to The Athletic. Thanks for leaving comments, even the bad ones, even the nerd ones. Whoever left the Star Wars reference. Thank you to for reading those. Read the style rankings from our cultural anthropologists.
That's live.
Lambre. That's live right now. Check both those out. And if your friends aren't reading The Athletic, what's wrong with them? Go to theathletic.com/dailyding. That'll get you 40% off a subscription for the year. It's like $3 a month. So do that. Support great journalism and my rankings.
No one man should have all that power.
Gonna rain, rain. I'm gonna overreact. Gonna overreact. Gonna rain, rain. Gonna overreact. Gonna overreact. I'm gonna rain, rain.
Power.
Gonna overreact.